welcome to the Wonder Woman podcast, where we discuss a variety of subjects all pertaining to optimizing your physique, building strength, developing a strong mindset, and tools to help you win at life. I'm Michelle McDonald, and I'm the founder of the Wonder Woman Coaching Team. We are a community of results-driven coaches and clients who believe that we can age like never before. Welcome, everybody, to the Wonder Woman podcast. I am your host, Michelle McDonald, and today's guest is none other than superstar client Sarah Pertusati, who is almost about to deliver her first child. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you here. All right, so just a brief introduction. You have been with the Wonder Woman. You've been on this health journey for 3 years, correct?
Yes. Yep. 3 years in January.
Such a long time. That is crazy. And this is your first child, your first pregnancy.
Yes.
And you've got a master's in educational counseling, which I think is just fascinating. You work as a high school and college educational counselor.
Yes, I do.
So first of all, one question I'd like to get into is, how has your journey through fitness affected you as a counselor, if at all?
Well, I think just like in fitness, it has your goal as a counselor is to develop the whole student. And that's just what fitness is all about as well. You want to make sure your mind is strong, you're physically strong, spiritually strong. And so that has definitely helped me be a better school counselor because of being able to implement what I've learned in training. Also with having a positive attitude toward learning and further learning and always diving into the resources that you have available and also knowing what resources you have available, that has really helped me as well. And having the self-confidence in the ability to succeed. So just like in training, you're trying to wrap your head around that last set of squats that are really hard for you. In the real world, you're trying to do the same thing. So it's just the self-confidence that you need to be able to succeed.
I love that. So are you saying that prior to fitness, you didn't have that same growth mindset? Or has the journey into fitness, and especially I know the Wonder Woman, we work a lot on mindset, has it just amplified that part of your counseling and your own self-education?
Oh, it's definitely amplified. The Wonder Woman is a program that empowers you to learn, to keep educating yourself, and that has really made a difference in my own career, because I do want to keep learning and educating myself to be the best counselor that I could be. But also letting the students know how to succeed as well. Because just because you know what to do doesn't necessarily mean other people know how to do the same thing. So you are teaching them the skills. So by constantly educating ourselves in the Wonder Woman, every other week we have calls, we have team calls, global calls. That has helped in my education as well.
Got it. So, okay, so this is great. So this is something else that I really want to know, and I'm sure the people that are listening to this, especially people that are considering going through pregnancy, whether it's your first one like Sarah's or is this a second one, maybe your first one wasn't, as healthy as you'd like it to be, and you want to make that pivot. So many questions I want to get into with you, Sarah, today. So one of them is, because you've got so much through your own fitness journey, and we know how powerful resistance training is for the mind, for well-being, for overall health, like all of that. Has it influenced how you do counseling? Like, do you do any recommendations for fitness, or do you ask about, students' fitness levels or their nutrition or anything like that? Or are they totally separate?
No, we do. So we are able to incorporate any of that. I work at a faith-based school, so and an all-boys school. So it's a little different dynamic.
Oh, wow. Boys school.
Yes. So they're definitely a different breed, but it's very fun as well. So over the last couple of years, the counseling team has been able to introduce a lot of mindfulness into the school curriculum. So we've done different things as far as breathing exercises with the students, basic breathing exercises or meditation, or just having them exposed to, you know, what is anxiety, you know, just kind of wrapping your head around what is depression, different basic skills that not everybody really even knows what they are. They just kind of say them. So it has, that has helped me be a better counselor, but also implemented into the school setting as well with the counseling team.
Gotcha. Okay. So let me spin this back at you. So part of what we do, of course, is, at the Wonder Woman, is encourage self-awareness and help the client develop strategies for auto-regulation, right? So noticing, you know, say you're getting anxious, being able to notice the physiological experience of being anxious. So maybe that's, you notice your posture starts to change, maybe you're breathing or it starts to change, you start holding your breath or breathing very shallow for some people, maybe in their chest, they're doing chest breathing versus belly breathing with those full ventilations. So you're starting to notice your physiological patterns, and then you can drive that wedge into the pattern and then hopefully choose different strategies to get a different physiological outcome, right? So maybe yes. You do some slow breathing and then you calm yourself down and you remind yourself of a couple of the great things that you did yesterday or the couple of the great things that you're known for, and that calms you down and you realize, oh, I can handle this. So as a counselor, are you saying that you're able to piggyback on your own journey and also maybe some of the extra, I know we throw so much reading and research at you guys too on that matter, so it's helped you be able to transfer that knowledge to the students?
Yes. So I use an app every morning called 10% Happier, and it's a meditation app. I love it. They have different courses that you could do for beginners, different breathing exercises. You can search whatever is going on in your life. If you're feeling anxious, you can type in something and they will give you a list of meditations. So the great thing about the school I work at is that it is smaller, so we are able to meet with the students more often. So depending on what's going on with them, for example, if they are struggling with a little bit of anxiety, I will whip that meditation app out and we will do a 5-minute meditation in my office right there. And of course, it's uncomfortable for them because they haven't been exposed to it maybe. But the more they do it, the better they feel. And so my goal is if they can leave my office feeling a little bit better, then and they can implement that on their own time, then that's a win. So I do use a lot of what we've learned in the Wonder Woman, what I've learned over the course of a few years into counseling. And especially on our calls, you know, we had a call about being a CEO of your life. And that was such a great call where I listened to that call maybe 3 or 4 times. And I did implement it into the school setting because creating a vision board and what do you see your life being. So it has definitely benefited me in the counseling world.
And it's benefited your kids too. Do you see that light bulb yes. moment go off with them too? Because they're probably not hearing this from other sources.
No, they're not. They're not hearing it. But it's something that is so relevant right now. Everyone's talking about mental health. And so it's nice that they're able to understand it a little more.
Great. So then another question I'm going to ask you before we dive into pregnancy, and of course, you're going to be a mom soon too. How can parents and guardians actively support the promotion of health and fitness at home? And how do you communicate and even, you know, like collaborate? Do you collaborate with them on these kinds of things?
I think a lot of it is them seeing you do it. So you're modeling that behavior and they see you being active. And that's one thing that I feel like is very important. My husband is also a part of the Tulum Strength program. So they're all under the Wonder Woman. And so by us both having an important, by fitness and training and health being so important in our household, I'm hoping that modeling will trickle down to our family, our kids. And also having them exposed to different things that they're necessarily not exposed to, and being uncomfortable and letting them know that it's okay to be uncomfortable and learning from that.
Yeah, that's definitely a lesson from the gym, right? It's supposed to be uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Like if your squat setup is comfortable, you're not tight enough.
Yes, I know.
Okay. All right. I love that. Modeling. You know, our motto at the Wonder Woman is lead from the front. And I ask all my coaches to do that. Never ask something for your client that you don't do yourself, whether it's meal planning or training or juggling a tight schedule or making sure if you've got back-to-back calls that you're making time to get some steps in or get a little bit of food
yes.
in, stay on top of your nutrition, all that. It's so important, right? And if we take care of our own, our own house, right? If we take care of our own house, our own life, it has such a positive ripple effect on the people around us. And I think that's what definitely you must be doing in your own extended family right now. I'm sure family members are amazed at how you're exemplifying this new modern way of approaching pregnancy. So I'd love to dive into that. So again, those of you that are listening to this, if you are thinking of getting pregnant or you're tackling a second pregnancy and you want to do it a little bit differently, my hope is that through this call, you will have a lot of take homes. And certainly it's been an absolute joy getting the opportunity to coach Sarah through her first pregnancy. So a couple fun facts with Sarah. So when Sarah first let me know that she was pregnant, it was back in the summer, early summer, and we were in the middle of, not in the middle, actually, we were in the tail end of hitting some PRs. And for the listeners, one rep maxes, testing your one rep max, when done properly, it takes a few months. Like there's this whole, hypertrophy phase where you build up a lot of volume and you're really fine tuning your movement patterns. And then we start, slowly increasing in intensity. And that takes, a couple months where we're going from higher rep work down to increasingly low rep work. And so I think we were a few weeks away from your 1RM test. Am I correct?
Yes, we were.
And it's your first pregnancy. You're in your late 30s, right? So you're 37 now. So I said, well, why don't you check things out with your doctor? Because you wanted to keep going. I remember that. In fact, you still want to keep going. So we ran, checked with your doctor, and your doctor gave you the green light.
Yes.
So tell me about that. Tell me about that experience of getting those big lifts in, even when you were starting off on this journey.
So, like you said, it took a long time to build up to where we were. I was in a conservative build at the time, and I'd worked so hard to get to this point, and it was tough. I mean, just the reps and the constant increase in weight. But when I found out I was pregnant, you immediately said, what do you want to do? You want to pivot and take it up at a different time, or do you want to keep going? And you do have that little bit of mind shift where you're like, oh no, I'm pregnant. What do I do? I was walking to a world where I didn't know. So I did, I took a little bit to think about it. I'm like, no, let's do it. Let's keep going. I feel good enough. So at 7 weeks pregnant, I was able to complete my one rep max of hip thrust, squat, and bench.
Okay, you got to share the numbers. You got to share the numbers.
Okay. So I did 338 pounds for my hip thrust.
That's a lot of weight, everybody. 338 pounds. I'm going to say it again. And it took you a couple tries. I think the first, you did it 1 week, and I said, well, I can give it to you, but it's a little bit soft at the lockout. I think. Didn't I say something?
You did.
Yes, typical Michelle coaching feedback. So you did it again, and you got it. You're like, I'm going to get it. You locked it out.
I'm going to get it. I have to. And I did 182 pounds at squat, 234 pounds at deadlift, and then 96 pounds at bench. And
I bet you could beat that bench one rep max now.
I think so, because we have been working on that throughout pregnancy. I know we stopped a few weeks ago, but I had been continuing to work on my bench. But that day I walked out and nobody knew I was pregnant besides you and my husband at the time. And my husband was there with me at the gym when I was doing the one rep
Oh, I
max.
love
And
it. I love it.
I felt like a million bucks walking out of that gym. Like, I mean, I wish I could tell other people. We wanted to be able to wait until, you know, we made it through the first trimester. But I was like, wow, at 7 weeks pregnant, I still was able to hit these numbers that we had been working so hard for such a long time. And it made me realize that just because I'm pregnant, I'm not injured. And if I feel good enough, I can keep going. And I did. And right there, I think it made me, it really helped lay the foundation of my whole pregnancy, where I knew that I could push myself. But we had to modify a little bit, you know, so we modified our exercises and we have been throughout the whole entire pregnancy. But I'm still able to push myself because I've already laid the foundation that I needed to. And that was important. So I think that if I hadn't laid that foundation of years of training and habit work, then it would be very tough to just dive into something like that and I wouldn't be able to do it. But it's because of just the bricks that the foundation that you lay all throughout what you're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's important to underline, again, if you're listening to this, you're probably already into fitness and you understand how the science has evolved around women's health, especially in the last, I feel like, 10 to 15 years, it's changed massively. Although social media can lag and some of the medical community can lag a little bit on staying current with what we know is now possible. So I think one of the first things that I do when I find out that one of my clients is blessed with pregnancy, which isn't that often because most of my clients are older, their kids are in college. But when they are blessed with being pregnant, I just give you guys a bunch of information on, current practices around pregnancy and fitness and how to have a healthier approach. Things like, gestational diabetes and things that you can do diet-wise and all of that to minimize your risk of that. Things that you can do lifestyle-wise to minimize your risk of postpartum depression, and just being very communicative. Talk to your doctor, get your whole team involved. Make sure I'm involved as well. So again, you're in that space of auto-regulation. You're not pushing yourself mindlessly. You're staying within very, aware. You're staying within very aware boundaries so that you're able to continue to progress as an athlete. You don't have to give that up. You can still progress as an athlete, but you're being very self-aware about it. That's key for people to understand. It's not this all or nothing approach.
Yes.
So let's keep going. So let's ask a fun question. What are you most excited to do with your new baby?
I think one thing I'm most excited about doing is I think being a part of another community. I've loved the community experience at TWW. That's what this program is made out of. You make friends, like-minded friends that are going through the same thing that you are. And I'm very excited about meeting a new group of women that are going through the same thing I am and being able to bounce things off of each other and learn from one another. So I did sign up for called New Mom School, and I signed up for it. So I'll start it once the baby's here. But it's a community of women that will meet once a week, and there'll be guest speakers that will come in, and they'll be able to educate us on what's going on with our babies at that time. So all the babies are together and you have the same age group. So I am excited for being able to continue to learn. So that's one thing throughout the pregnancy that I have quickly understood is there's so much to understand and to learn that obviously you don't really know until you're in the midst of it. But I've learned to just take one thing at a time. So now that I'm going to be entering the postpartum phase, I am excited for a new community to learn with other women.
So is this an online community?
No, it's in person.
Wow. Okay. And how did you find out about this community?
Online. So I...
Okay. It's online. I love it.
Yeah. I found it online, and I've asked quite a few other moms that I know that have been through it, that have gone through this program, just asked them for recommendations. How was their experience? And they've all loved it. I thought it can't hurt. It can't hurt to be exposed to something and you find out what's for you. And also I was really interested in meeting with this group of women once a week and just learning with one another and being able to obviously bounce ideas. Hey, this is what's happening in our house. This is what our baby's doing. Maybe they, you know, you all help one another. So I found it. I also have a doula, and I asked my doula about it. And so she said it was a good idea to join this group. So I did.
Now, do you want to explain a little bit what a doula is, just in case the audience doesn't know?
Yeah. So the reason why we decided, my husband and I decided to hire a doula, is because when we found out that we were pregnant, we found out right away. So right at 4 weeks, we knew you can't see the doctor until you're 8 weeks. And during those 4 weeks, just like I mentioned before, your mind's kind of going everywhere. What can you eat? What can you not eat? What should you be doing? What should you not be doing? There's all these different things that are going through my head because it's navigating new territory. We went to our appointment, and the appointments were so quick. And I was a little let down. Like,
with the doctors, you mean?
Yeah, with the doctors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're having all these questions, and then it's done.
Mm-hmm. I come in with my, you know, my paper with all my questions, and it's less than 10 minutes. And I'm like, I don't know anything. I want to know how my body's changing, what I'm experiencing week to week. I knew that wasn't going to be the case. So my husband and I decided to hire a doula. And the doula will provide emotional support, physical support, and education. So we were able to find our doula, who we love, and she has been so great. So we've done our childbirth classes with her. We've had multiple meetings with her. And she's available anytime we need. But she's been able to educate us on different stages of labor, what my body's going through, alternatives, and what are our options, things they don't really teach you in the doctor's appointments. If I don't, you know, if I say no to this option that the doctor's giving me, what is the other alternative? So a lot of times she'll give us, you know, it's the brain acronym. So what are the benefits, the risks, the alternatives? What is your intuition? And what if you do nothing? So we've kind of gone through that many times with our doctor, just kind of working things out because it's informed consent. What do? What are our options? So she's helped us navigate that. She will be with us the day that we deliver. So she will be that extra support in the room for my husband, and also to make sure that everything that we've gone over, that we're able to, as much as we can, control that setting and control the environment and make it a positive birth experience.
Are you birthing at home? Are you doing it at a center or at a hospital?
We are doing it at a hospital.
In a hospital? Great. Okay.
Yes.
And is it with a midwife? Is a midwife different than a doula?
A midwife is different than a doula. A midwife can deliver your baby. A doula cannot. So it will be with, if our doctor is there, because it's on call, then she will be there. And then the nurses will be available. And there are midwives on staff. But our doula will be there as the main support during that time.
Great. Okay. Gotcha. So you've got a whole team.
Yeah.
So you found your doula very early on. I remember that. You were so happy to announce that you're getting a doula for that exact reason. And so that's another thing to consider, those of you that are listening. There's great support out there now, and you don't have to feel alone or isolated. So, you know, online is so great. Word of mouth. So finding somebody like a great doula that comes with references, right?
Yeah, so we actually found our doula. There was a doula matching organization online, and you put in all your information. What do you see your birth experience going like? They asked a bunch of different questions, and then they match you with different doulas. You go through their biographies, you kind of jump on a call, and you almost interview each other to make sure you're a good fit, and then you pick one. And so we found Jen, our doula, through that organization, and she's been wonderful.
Now, does she work out?
She does. Yes, she does work out.
There you go. So she gets it, right?
Yes.
Because you wouldn't want to be with somebody that's going to say, oh, no, don't do that. Unless you shouldn't.
She knows. Yeah. No, yes. And she knows it's a big part of our lives.
I love that. And she'll be around postpartum.
She will. She will be around postpartum as well. So that will be nice.
Okay. So let's dive into a couple more key questions. Again, I really want the listeners to have some good take homes. So how, you know, if you were going to give some advice based on your experience going through all of this, let's talk about the beginning, the first trimester. What were some of the things that you know contributed to you having a healthier pregnancy? So going back to that first trimester, I'm going to make you work, Sarah.
I know. I think it was the foundation that I already had. So going back in the habits that I had already created. So at the Wonder Woman, we've been taught to do the daily five, and I still do those every single day, even if I've been in the program for 3 years, and really making sure that I check off those boxes. I found that, especially during my first trimester, one thing that was so important was knowing how to navigate the nutrition. And with the macro-based nutrition that we've been taught, really helped, because you're eating a balanced meal 5 times a day, and you know exactly how many carbs, proteins, and fats that you're getting in your diet. And you know that that's helping with the baby's development. So we learn, you know, eat as many whole foods as you can. And that's one thing that I just kept going when I found out that I was pregnant. It's like doing the same things that I've always done. There was a few weeks where I was feeling a little nauseous, and then I really had to go back to the basics, eating simple foods that I know that I could just get down that would be easily digestible. So, and that's one thing that we learned in the Wonder Woman in the very beginning, just make it simple, you know, 3 or 4 ingredients at a time, just make the meal simple. And so that's what I had to do. My husband and I love to cook, and we use a lot of Lily Eats and Tells meals. And so those meals are so delicious, and they're loaded with vegetables. But during the times that I had to be simple, I had to move away from that. And then when I got through that phase, I could go back to the way I was eating.
I'm going to pull back a little bit. So you said a couple of things. So one, the five dailies. So if somebody's not a Wonder Woman gal, they're not going to know what you mean by that. So I'm going to ask you to explain what are the five dailies. And then I'm going to give a little plug to, let's give a little plug to Lily's Eats and Tell. So that is, it's actually a gal, that's her Instagram account. I think that's her website name. And she, has a whole bunch of fabulous recipes that are macro-based. They have all the macros in them, and I believe you can manipulate the recipes to suit your own macros on an app like that we use, like My Macros, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what are the five dailies?
Okay, the five dailies are...
For you.
Oh, for me. So 5 important things in my life that I want to make sure I check off every single day. So what are the 5 habits that I feel like are most important to me? So right now, and they've changed throughout my time at the Wonder Woman. Right now, it's making sure that I'm getting 8,000 steps a day, that I'm meditating, that I'm taking my vitamins, because that's important for me, that I'm breathing at least 10 minutes a day, and that I'm drinking at least 3 liters of water. So There is a one of my fellow teammates in the Tulum Strength. She told us about an app that's called the Habit Tracker. And so I downloaded my daily five on the Habit Tracker. And it's been wonderful because it'll give you updates all throughout the day. Hey, you're not hitting your water yet. You're not hitting your water yet. And you're like, it is constantly reminding you, okay, got to hit the water. So every day I try to check off those five habits. And I know those are just the basic habits that will help me be consistent each day.
Okay. And I'm surprised that you don't have training or nutrition in those five musts. So I guess they're so entrenched.
They are. Yes.
You don't even have to worry about them, right?
No, they are because it's become such a part of my life that you just do it. You just do it. So yeah. So I've navigated away and made room for other five habits.
I love that. So again, if this is all new to you, don't get too overwhelmed. You start with where you're at. You get those essential habits that are crucial to your health and fitness journey. And then over time, you can start to replace some of those essential habits with new things that need a bit more attention, because some of the other things, as like in Sarah's case, the training and nutrition, are just on autopilot. Just like you don't have to think, I hope, about brushing your teeth or making your bed or having that shower after you work out. You just don't have to think about them anymore. There's no friction there. You don't have to argue with yourself. You don't fall off the bandwagon. Like, those things are just non-negotiables. Truly, they're truly a habit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then let's talk about nutrition a little bit, because, again, people that are new to this lifestyle, let's give them some good take homes. So your nutrition, when you let me know that you're pregnant, you were on a build. It was a conservative build, and a conservative build, everyone, means that we weren't pushing Sarah to just gain a whole bunch of weight. We were just, you know, making sure she was in a slight calorie surplus, and she was training hard, and we were looking for, like, her glutes to, you know, get bigger, her thighs to get bigger. I know Sarah was really, really focused on her biceps. So we had a whole arm day devoted to her arms, to bring those up. When she was pregnant, we didn't really have to change anything, because you actually only have to increase your calories by a small amount to support a growth, and especially that first trimester, you know, your baby's just a little pin, little dot. And we made sure that we paid attention to your appetite, your hunger signaling. As you said, in that first trimester, when you were getting some of that nausea, you simplified things and made sure you're getting the food in. So do you remember your calories, your macros at that point? So there weren't big changes.
No,
but do you remember what your protein was?
About 160.
Okay, so you were 128 pounds at the start, and you're eating 160 grams of protein. I know some people might think that's a lot.
Yes, but it's broken down into five meals. So when you break down into five meals, it makes it very easy to wrap your head around those big protein numbers.
It's not a lot. And then especially if you have a good amount of carbohydrates in your diet as well.
Yes.
So your carbs were, they must have been about 200 or so or more.
They've been about, they've been about 200 on high carb days, and low carb days are obviously different. But they've been at least 200. Yes.
Yeah. I've got your diet here right in front of me, and on your training day, it was 225 grams and 45 grams of fat. And the diet didn't change too much. We adjusted it a little bit in August and again in September. And I think I just recently adjusted it, but we didn't have to play around with it too much. You've been able to pretty steadily gain weight with those macros, with the macros that were your build macros. So again, we were trying to build muscle, and then we used those same calories more or less. We didn't change them a lot. And that allowed you to grow this other little human, which is amazing to me.
I know. And I know that that is one of the biggest myths and stereotypes out there, is that you have to eat for two. And really, you really don't. It's just, it's about smart eating and what you're putting into your body. And you do have to raise your calories a little bit, like you said, but not much. And we've been able to adjust as we've gone along. Like, there have been a couple of weeks where I've said, you know, I'm pretty hungry. And then the next week, I won't be as hungry. So we'll just adjust as I've progressed in my pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you said that. It's also the quality of food that you're eating. And I think this could be a really important one for gals that are listening to this to understand, you know, your body can create cravings when you're lacking in certain nutrients. And certainly in this day and age, it's very easy to eat 2,000 calories or 2,500 calories and not have a lot of nutrients in them. So I know I'm always checking everyone's macros and looking at the fiber content. So making sure that an adult female is getting that 25 grams of fiber is so important. It's just so important for cardiovascular health, brain health, gut health, bone health. I don't think there's hormonal health, a wide variety of plant-based fibers, whether that's grains or nuts, vegetables, fruit, are so important to our overall health. And of course, when you're trying to create another human, another life, you've also got to make sure you're getting those nutrient-rich plants in the body as well. And if you're not getting those in, that can create cravings. And I think that's a lot of times what happens, especially around the sugar cravings. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I'm glad that you brought up the cravings, because a lot of people will ask, so what have you been craving during your pregnancy? And I haven't craved anything. And
wow,
I
no pickles, no ice cream?
No, nothing. But I think it's also because with macro-based nutrition, you can navigate what you want. So if you are craving an ice cream, we know how to make a good protein fluff. Or if you're craving French fries, you know how to pop them in the air fryer. You know alternatives. So you can, just like if you're not pregnant, you can navigate those cravings based off of what you've already learned with macro-based nutrition.
Great. So the message here is, whether you're pregnant or not, learning macro-based nutrition is your green light. It's your freedom path to be able to navigate cravings, to be able to improve your health markers, to be able to grow muscle, like all those things. And you are the person who gets to decide exactly what goes on your plate. And that's incredible self-empowerment. And you can, obviously there's that learning curve in the beginning, but quite rapidly you start to have some favorite recipes, some favorite food hacks. You can join an online community, whether you're part of a coaching team like ours or another macro-based. There's so many wonderful macro-based Facebook communities out there where you can join and learn from the journey of others, right?
Yeah. There are a lot of free recipes out there. If you don't have a cookbook or you don't have access to that, I know you have an Instagram with food and recipes on there. And then Lily Eatontels has her own online recipe with free recipes, so you don't have to buy her cookbooks. So there are so many free resources out there. Yes, you should, because they're very good.
They're very good. Can you share a couple of favorite kind of food meal ideas that helped you through pregnancy that you just love? They were your go-tos.
So like I had mentioned, we love Lily's food. And so we eat her food probably 5 times a week. My husband and I will sit down every single Sunday, make our meal for the week, our meal plan. And we go through her cookbooks and we take a look to see what sounds good. She just came out with a new one, so it's been fun to navigate some new recipes. But we eat, she has a lot of different casseroles or bakes where there are so many different vegetables. And it's almost like they're like hidden gems because you don't even realize that you're eating so many different vegetables that you're able to put into one single recipe. So I would say some of our go-tos have been her soups, because that is, there's just warm food, some bone broth in them that will really help. And then lots of vegetables. And those can be stretched throughout the whole week for lunch and dinners, you know, to make it easy for meal prepping. And then we really love her. She has like a Philly cheesesteak with flank steak, and it really makes you feel like you're indulging in something so delicious.
Treat.
Yes. But it's all within the macros. So it's
okay,
nice.
So I'm curious with the soup. So is it like a vegetable soup and then you add your protein separately, or how do you do that? Because how can you be sure you're hitting your protein?
Okay, so it's she has everything calculated for you, which makes it very easy, the whole recipe. So you'll put into the Instapot. So the one of our favorites is her tortilla soup. And, you know, you'll cook the chicken, you'll put everything into the Instapot, it will all cook, and then she'll give you the proportion. So for 320 grams, this is what your proteins, carbs, and fats will look like.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
So you got to make sure that there's not like a lone piece of chicken
off
on the corner. Yes. It's got to be really mixed well. Gotcha. Okay. I love that. So that, again, that's Lily Eats and Tells.
And like for some of those soups are great for postpartum. From now that I'll be navigating postpartum recipes a little bit to help with healing and recovery, bone broth and different vegetables, warm food will help with that too.
Nice. I know we talked about that recently, right? I'm like, do you have your game plan? You have family? Do you have family available to help?
I do. Yes. I have family that will be helping. My mom's also in the Wonder Woman program, so she understands. So I'll
the
be able
family.
To give her. Yeah, I know. It's a family affair. So I'll be able to give her, you know, kind of a list of recipes that she can make that will help. But yeah, we have lots of family support that will be able to help with that. And also us preparing as well. So the soup is easy because you can freeze it. And they have, you know, soup little freeze containers on Amazon you can buy that just make it really easy to pack away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about a couple other things then. What about training? How is training, can you give a couple specifics maybe, how has training changed throughout pregnancy?
So I would say in the second and third trimester, we've transitioned more to machine work, which has been different. So we've done, instead of doing barbell deadlifts, we've navigated maybe Romanian deadlifts with dumbbells, or we've done, you know, seated leg curl. So we've done just different types of machine work. Instead of a barbell squat, I've done lots of cable squats. So, and also third trimester, you've navigated away from anything that would make me a little unbalanced just because it's a little off right now. We've done different alternatives. I've kept a couple days of cardio in, and then also ab work has looked a little different. I'm doing more side planks or bird dogs, pallet presses. So that's been a little different. However, I feel like the one thing that has stayed consistent is me being able to make sure that every single training session, I'm training with intensity. So I'm still working hard and I'm still able to progressively overload. So even if that week looks like just one more rep, it doesn't matter. I'm still improving. So that's one thing that I've been able to wrap my head around. Okay, I'm still able to be in here, I'm consistent, and I'm able to improve every session.
Beautiful. Yeah. So let's underline that again. Even though the training has evolved, and this is very individual, those of you that are listening, you know, some people are doing barbell work right up to the end. And I think, Sarah, just recently we pulled out bench, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
You've been benching amazingly. I've seen the videos with that enormous belly, and there's Sarah just like killing it on the bench. So, which I know, you know, things have changed a little bit in the gym, but not that much. Seeing women bench is very rare compared to seeing men bench. And then seeing a pregnant woman bench, I'm sure just must be mind blowing to so many people at the gym. I love it. But it's very individual how you will augment a program. It really depends on the person and what their goals are. But what doesn't have to change, and this is what we teach our gals at the Wonder Woman, is train like an athlete. So I keep a good training log, make sure that you are pushing yourself whilst maintaining form, training very close to failure, even achieving failure. And so that's something that Sarah's been able to do throughout the pregnancy. That's really important because, again, it's being pregnant is not a disease, and you're not injured. And as long as you are having a healthy pregnancy, you've got that support from your doctor, you can continue to progress in the gym. And as long as you're pushing yourself hard, you can still accrue muscle tissue, or certainly maintain your muscle tissue. And I think we've lost a little bit of size on the quadriceps, on the thighs. Not a lot, though. I think yes. It's less than a quarter of an inch has changed in your thighs. And this is another thing that I wanted to point out to the listeners. Sarah started at 120, she started her pregnancy 128 pounds at 5'6". Her waist was 26 inches. Her hips were 37 and a half, and her thigh was 21.8 inches. And she's almost about to give birth. And the only thing that's really changed is her weight. She's gained 20 pounds, right, over the course of the 9 months. And it was very, it was kind of slow to begin with. And then it really, somewhere in the second trimester, started to pick up some speed. Your waist went up from 26 inches to 32.8, which is not a lot. It's just a little bit bigger than when you started your transformation journey. I think your waist was it around 30 or 31?
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yes,
right?
Yeah,
I think we did a collage in October.
Yeah, we did, just to see. And it is really different to look at the way my body has stored fat.
And just
as
weight
has
and
mass. Increased, yes, as I've progressed. Because you have no idea what to expect when you find out you're pregnant. You're thinking, I was a little nervous. It's hard to see the scale go up when you've been working so hard. But we had a clear cut, like, expectations and kind of a plan of what to expect. And you really broke it down every single trimester. This is the goal weight. And so it made it easier to wrap my head around. And it was nice. So we do progress pictures every single week. So I'm constantly going in there and seeing, okay, how do I look this week compared to 2 months ago? And it's just fascinating how the body has changed, but in a way that I never thought it would. So I really thought I'd be storing fat in different places. And it's been very different than what I expected in the beginning.
Yeah, your hips really didn't change at all. And like I said, your thighs actually dropped just a little bit, not much at all. And just the belly went up. I mean, from the back, you can hardly tell at all. So very different experience, like having a plan, knowing what to expect, making sure you're getting those nutrient-rich foods in, being able to enjoy training. That doesn't have to change. You can still enjoy, that push, that effort in the gym. And then, of course, there's the mindset part of it, right? And being kind to yourself, which doesn't mean, being kind to yourself doesn't mean you have to be unhealthy. There's a weird, connection for some people that being kind to yourself means choosing unhealthy things. But in fact, with you, it's been the opposite, right? Being kind to yourself has meant, okay, maybe it's time to take a nap, or maybe it's time to, do some more meditation, right? Or pull back on your schedule. So let's finish with some of that conversation, because that's also important.
I think that it's important to understand your body too. So I know it's important to rest during pregnancy. And there were a lot of days where I was tired after work, heading to the gym. And then I have to figure out, okay, is it really that my body's so tired that I should adjust my training? Or is it just that I'm a little tired and I'll get a second wind after you work out, because nobody ever regrets a workout.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of that is understanding, you know what, I can do it. I can get in there. And I did. You just get out of the car, put one foot in front of the other, have a good music playlist or a good podcast that you're able to listen to, and just do one set at a time and one rep at a time, and then you're done. And you feel so much better. And then you realize, okay, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't me feeling like a pregnancy, I need to kind of scale back. It was just, I was a little tired after work, and then you go home and you rest and you always sleep better. It changes your attitude. But I think with fitness, I've realized in general that it's uncomfortable and it's challenging and it's demanding, but it teaches you that mental toughness. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing throughout pregnancy that it's been amazing, because you've really had to really dive deep. Like, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? And then understand what you're feeling. Because I let you know some exercises, I'm like, oh, this feels a little uncomfortable. And then we've adjusted. But it's just understanding how you're feeling at the time.
Mm-hmm. So again, that foundation of training and knowing that your feelings aren't facts. And just being, again, self-aware, right? So you've already had that process. We've all had that process of like, oh, I don't feel like it. But then you get to the gym, you start warming up, and you're like, oh, okay, I feel better, right? So there's that history. You've already done that millions of times. And so you know, well, let's just see if I really am too fatigued or if I just need to get going. I just need to get my blood going. Were there ever any times, Sarah, where you did get to the gym and you had to say, nope, I'm really tired?
Yeah, there were a couple times where I had to adjust, and then I have to navigate my food too, because your food changes when you're not training. So that was a couple days where I'd have to navigate it, and it was still early enough in the day where it would be okay that I would be able to hit my low carb day instead of my high carb day of food. But really rarely did that happen. I was able to really get through it. And I found that, you know, once you're at the gym, I always call it like it's my happy hour, because you feel so good moving your body and challenging your body in a way that most people aren't used to challenging their body in that way. So it feels good when you're walking out of the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. And the balance to your hormones, how it improves glycogen uptake to the muscles, it improves insulin sensitivity. Again, you're maintaining that muscle mass, which is you want to maintain throughout your pregnancy, especially, you know, you can imagine once you give birth and you've recovered and you want to be able to pick up your child, you want to be able to move around the house and have energy. So just that habit of self-awareness and that habit of keeping up with your fitness routine is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And lastly, mindset. How did your mindset habits evolve, or did they at all, throughout your pregnancy? Because I know you journal a lot. You do meditation.
I journal. You read a lot. I do meditation. Yes. As far as my mindset habits through pregnancy, it was tough. There were a lot of tough days where a lot of it is out of your control, as far as just navigating what your body's feeling, your hormones, how your body's changing. So it really makes you really have to dive deep. So for instance, my husband and I went on vacation in October, and it was towards the end of my second trimester, and we're on our way home, and I just had this gush of, I just felt very overwhelmed. Like, we have so much to do. We're approaching our third trimester. We have so much to do for this baby. I'm like, okay, what can we do? We're on this long plane ride. What can we do? We made a long list of everything that we needed to accomplish until the baby arrived. And what we did was, I think I was like on week 26. We just divided them up each week, 5 things a week, and we just started chipping away. So every week we'd pull out our little Google Doc. Okay, what are the 5 to-dos on our list?
I love this.
had made me feel so much better about everything. Immediately it did. And we hadn't even started chipping away at it. It's because I knew we had a plan. And that helps with the mindset where I'm not feeling that anxious feeling. It's like, okay, what can I do to control right now? So by week 36, we were already ready to go. We're set up so the baby can come anytime, where I don't feel where I'm having to use all my maternity leave time to complete all these to-dos now.
I'm able to enjoy this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to scramble. So, you can really enjoy this whole experience.
Yeah. So it's being able to control what I know I can. And kind of going back to the training, that is one thing I knew I could control, is the consistency. Just getting in there and training consistently, because it makes you feel better. And it does that. That kind of piggybacks on your mindset, where it really sets your day up, it sets your week up, where you just feel better. So all that meshes together.
I love that. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show. I could talk to you for hours. And for those of you that are listening, I've already let Sarah know I'm going to be inviting her back to the show. Probably, I think month 6 would be great. You know, you'll be sleeping.
Sounds
you'll
great.
Be on the other side of this whole huge journey. And you'll be deep into your, probably you've already started the new group, the new women's group.
Yes. Yep.
Great. Awesome. Baby will be 6 months old.
Yes.
I don't know, how much will the baby weigh at 6 months?
Do you know? I'm not too sure.
I know my puppy grew fast. I don't think he was grow as fast as puppies. I don't have children, but I have puppies. And everyone tells me it all goes by fast. So I'm going to have you back on the show. Sarah, thank you so much. It has just been such a joy to be by your side throughout this whole journey. I feel like I'm there with you.
You have been.
And I'm just so proud of you too. You just exemplify everything that I hope TWW can teach women: self-empowerment, self-awareness, and holding their health in their own hands.
Thank you. Thank you for your guidance, and thank you for creating a program designed for women that will empower women and educate them.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Take care. See you next show.
Thank you.
The Wonder Women podcast is proudly sponsored and produced by Social Fix. Social Fix is a transformational digital agency specializing in digital marketing, web design, social media, video, and podcast production for fitness, beauty, health, and wellness brands. Visit socialfix.com and request a free consultation for your brand's online image.